It had begun to rain. "Don't bother, I can walk," Gordon said, but Eisner insisted. They drove the short distance to Gordon's house, and as Gordon opened the car door, Eisner said, "I want you to know that this is the last time we'll ever speak. Jeffrey just told me what you did." Gordon was stunned. "What did Jeffrey say?" "I know what happened, and I'm not going to discuss it." "Let me tell you what happened. I'm never going to speak to you again," Eisner said. Gordon got out of the car, slammed the door, and Eisner drove away. Early the next morning, Gordon got a call from the Paramount lot. "The movers are here to get your things," a studio assistant told him. "Where should we send them?" "You've got to be out of your mind," Gordon exclaimed. "Don't touch anything until I get there." When he arrived, boxes were stacked outside his office. He called Paramount's lawyer to make the point that his contract said he could be removed from the lot only on 90 days' notice. The lawyer told him that Paramount didn't care what his contract said. Even though it was heresy for a producer to sue a movie studio, Gordon called his lawyer, went to court, and got an injunction barring Paramount from ejecting him. Then Eisner banned Gordon from the Paramount commissary. He had the court overturn that, too. Gordon's contract guaranteed him an office, but it didn't say which one. He had to move from his luxurious quarters into a dark, cramped space. He continued to come to work and eat in the commissary every day for the ensuing 90-day period, just to make his point. Eisner honored his vow of silence. When the two men showed up the next summer to visit their sons at Key Waden, Eisner was standing at the end of a dock on the lake when he saw Gordon approach. Rather than risk an encounter, he dived into the water, still wearing his shoes. Eisner avoided Gordon for 2 years, leaving restaurants if necessary, refusing to emerge from his house when Gordon came to pick up his sons. But the following summer, the two were again visiting their sons at Key Waden, awkwardly trying to avoid each other, when a sudden rainstorm forced the scheduled family picnics into a small cabin. Pressed together in such close quarters, Gordon said to Eisner, "Either we should talk or we should go out into the woods and settle this thing once and for all." Eisner stared at him for a moment, then said, "Okay, when we're back in L.A., we can sit down and talk." Eisner came over to Gordon's house. Minutes into the conversation, they were screaming at each other. "You fucked me on Streets of Fire," Eisner yelled. "You'll never admit you were wrong," Gordon retorted. After what seemed like hours of heated argument, they ran out of steam. Nothing was resolved, but they started talking about their kids, their careers. They started talking again on the phone, though the relationship was never what it had been.
Plenty of people had complaints about how difficult Eisner was to work with, but there was no arguing with success.
Paramount's phenomenal track record attracted increasing media attention. After Terms of Endearment won 5 Academy Awards, Eisner and Diller were the subject of admiring profiles in Newsweek, The Wall Street Journal, and Business Week. New York Magazine ran a cover story on Eisner and Diller with the headline, "Hollywood's Hottest Stars," written by Tony Schwartz. While the New York article was unsparing in its depiction of Eisner and Diller as tough people to work with, Paramount is the studio that gives you a green light and then dares you to make the picture. It also hailed it as the leading studio in Hollywood. Put simply, Paramount has figured out better than any other studio